Sunday the 9th of August 2015, 10:45 service. Sermon series, Healthy Church. Sermon title, Lives in the Community. Talk by Roger Whip, and the Bible reading is from Acts chapter 4, verses 32 to 35.
All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed any of their possessions was his own, but they shared everything that they had. With great powers, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them. There was no needy persons among them, for from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sale and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anybody as he had need. Amen.
Thank you, Ian, and Roger's going to come and open up God's word for us. May I pray with you first, Roger?
Yes, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Roger. We lift him up to you now. And Father, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would use him in a mighty way. Father, let the words that he speak be your words, and that they would resonate in each of our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Can you just turn the screen around for me? Well, good morning. I feel a little bit like an 86 bus. You know what I mean? You know, you wait for ages for one to come along, and then two come along together. So I'm afraid you'll have to go to suffer my preaching twice within a month. And I just hope and pray that as we journey through today's short but very significant reading, we are challenged and guided along the route that God wants us to go along, both individually and as a church. The little old couple walked slowly into McDonald's that cold winter evening. They looked out of place amongst the young families and the young couples eating there that night. Some of the customers looked admiringly at them. You could tell what the admirers were thinking. Look, here's a couple who've been through a lot together, probably for 60 years or more. The little old man walked right up to the cash register, placed his order with no hesitation, and then paid for their meal. The couple took a table near the back wall and started taking food off the tray. There was one hamburger, one order of French fries and one drink. Little old man unwrapped the plain hamburger and he carefully cut it in half. He placed one half in front of his wife. Then he carefully counted out the French fries and he divided them into two piles and neatly placed a pile in front of his wife. He took a sip of the drink and his wife then also took a sip and set the cup down between them. As the man began to eat his few bites of hamburger, the crowd began to get restless. Again, you could tell what they were thinking. That poor old couple, all they can afford is one meal between them. As the man began to eat his French fries, one young man came over and he stood by the old couple's table and he politely offered to buy another meal for the old couple to eat. And the old man replied, "No, that's okay, we're just fine. You know, we're used to sharing everything." Then the crowd noticed that the little old lady hadn't eaten a bite. She just sat there by her husband, occasionally taking a sip of the drink. Again, the young man came over and he begged them to allow them to buy something else to eat. But this time the lady explained, "No, it's okay, we're all right, we're used to sharing things together." As the little old man finished eating and was wiping his face neatly with the napkin, the young man could stand it no longer. Again, he came over to the table and he offered to buy some food. After being politely refused again, he finally asked a question of the little old lady. "Madam, why aren't you eating? You said that you share everything. What is it that you're waiting for?" She answered, "Teeth." Okay, I'm not sure that that message contained in today's reading telling us that the Acts church shared everything indicates perhaps we should go quite that far. After all those that wear a denture, and it probably applied more to the 9 o'clock service than perhaps here, but caused a bit of a laugh this morning, but those that have to wear a denture know the importance of an exact fit and perhaps the occasional adjustment to prevent any discomfort. However, excuse the pun, but I think there is much in our reading that we need to chew over and to digest. Some of it may not make us feel totally comfortable, and like bad-fitting dentures, it might set our teeth on edge, so to speak. Now, none of these Christians in our reading felt that what they had was their own. They were able to give and to share, eliminating poverty amongst them. They wouldn't let, excuse me, they wouldn't let a brother or a sister in Christ suffer when others had plenty. How do we feel about our possessions? You know, sharing can be painful and costly. At one of my previous churches, one of my house group members was going through a very difficult situation in his marriage, and he left the family home. Maggie and I offered to give him accommodation whilst he sorted himself out. And this took much longer than we'd expected. And I must say that when he finally left, it was nice to get our house back. You know, to live back in our own comfort zone, so to speak. You know, when we have company, we feel that we have to be on our best behaviour, don't we? You know, no impolite sort of intimate habits like me picking my nose or Maggie passing wind. You know, she blames it on the tablets that she takes. She used to blame it on the cat when we had it, but that died, so that went out the window. But I can remember when tights first come out, the terrible problem she had. You know, the early church were able to share their possessions and property as a result of the unity brought on by the Holy Spirit. And that was working right through the believers' lives. As my Life Application Bible points out, we should adopt the attitude that everything we have comes from God, and we're only sharing what is already His. Now, although some of you might think that perhaps this is the basis of communism, or some people might say that, and they might say it's a similar sort of thing, but believe you me, it's vastly different, because with the Acts church, it was a voluntary sharing. It didn't involve all private property, but only as much as was needed. When I was fortunate to visit Albania, which was used to be the only declared atheist state in the world under the communist regime, and I went there shortly after the fall of communism, and I was appalled at the housing estates that they built and were allocated to people. Most of the people had no choice what town they lived in. They were ordered, that is your apartment. Now, in the Acts church, it wasn't mandatory to share. It wasn't a requirement of church membership. And I often wonder how different things would be if God forced us into action. Thankfully, the Holy Spirit is more gentle in His convicting us to take action, even if we all, including me, sometimes cock a deafen, so to speak. But another thing that stood out for me whilst I was in Albania, and bearing in mind the church was fairly young there because it wasn't allowed to exist under the communist regime, the people I met there had very little. At the time, it was the poorest country in Europe. But they soon learned what the Acts church was doing. They had little, but what they had, they were quite happy to share. Now, it wasn't just the spirit of generosity that abounded in the early church, but it was also a spiritual unity, without which no church can function effectively. Yes, there'll be differences of opinion, and that's inevitable amongst human personalities. And actually, that can be helpful at times if handled well. But a spiritual unity is essential, as well as loyalty, a commitment, and a love for God's word. Of course, we have all these things in abundant measure here at St. Chad's, don't we? Well, if not, I think we need to address this issue, because it is both the generosity and the spiritual unity in this early church of Acts that attracted others to the church. You know, I wonder how long visitors to our church would stay if we were forever arguing and backstabbing and gossiping. As I said before, I love preaching, not because I would be up here on the pedestal, but I always learn something myself when I prepare a talk. And something I learned was that, did you know that the sunflower is probably the most amazing flower that God created? They literally follow the sun. I'm told one of the most amazing things to see is a field of sunflowers. You know, watching hundreds in absolute unison following the sun is quite incredible. In fact, I've managed to get a video. You watch this. Isn't that amazing? I didn't know that until I started to prepare my talk, I must admit. I don't know how many of you knew that, but there you go. But something else that I found out also is that sunflowers continue tracking the sun's direction long after sunset. Through 360 degrees, they ensure that they are always orientated in the direction of the sun. Their unity is totally dependent on one thing: their relationship with the sun. You know, when I occasionally speak at the 10:45 service, my talk is always prepared at least a week before, as I have to give my notes and my PowerPoint to the visual guys the previous week so they can check through it and hopefully avoid any hiccups on the day. To my shock horror, Saturday night at the Taste of the World, Martin told a very shortened version of my opening joke. And knowing it's too late to change it, I thought, oh no! Same thing happened to me at the parish weekend when Mark told the joke I was telling at the 9 o'clock service. And I thought to myself, oh, I don't know what God is saying all this, you know, in this situation. I was pulling my hair out of it, really. However, on Sunday morning, as I walked into the church, I had to smile. Because what flowers were being displayed? Sunflowers. I can't ever remember seeing sunflowers being on display in the church. I was hoping they're going to still be here this morning, but obviously our flower lady's changing me. I couldn't believe it, you know. There's these beautiful sunflowers. And I believe perhaps it was a sign from God that at least I've got a part of today's talk right. My brothers and sisters, we need to become sunflowers for God. It could be worse, it could be pansies. I shouldn't say that, that's not politically correct, I'm sorry. Just as their unity is totally dependent on turning and following the sun, for this church to be effective and united, we too must follow the sun. No, not the big yellow thing in the sky, but Jesus, the Son of God. We must allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us, to change us, and to move us all in the right direction in unison. Many moons ago, when I first became a Christian, there was a popular song called "They Will Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Some of you may know that one. You know, thousands were added daily to the Acts Church because those outside saw the love. You know, even the hardest, coldest person deep inside wants to feel loved. There's not one person in this church today that doesn't want somebody to love them. I know that. The good news is that love of Christ is freely available to all, regardless of their past, present, and future. We need to share that love in the community and to all our neighbours, friends, and family. And also, of course, within the fellowship. However, it wasn't just acts of kindness that grew the Acts church. We're told in verse 33 this, that with great power the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and much grace was upon them all. In 1985, a celebration took place in a municipal swimming pool in New Orleans. The party around the pool was held to celebrate the first summer in memory without a drowning. In honour of the occasion, 200 people gathered, including 100 certified lifeguards. As the party was breaking up and the four lifeguards on duty began to clear the pool, they found a fully dressed body in the deep end. They tried to revive Jerome Moody, aged 31, but it was too late. He had drowned, surrounded by lifeguards, celebrating their successful season. What a tragedy. But it's just as tragic when people are surrounded by Christians and they still die and go to hell not knowing Jesus. The early church was committed to reaching the lost for Christ. We need to raise the bar in our commitment towards reaching out to others around us as well. Now, according to Rick Warren, in his book, Martin would probably bow at this stage. It's one of his people he likes, Rick Warren, I know. He wrote a book called Taking God Seriously. And he says in there are two basic reasons that people don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Saviour. And he says, number one, they have never met a Christian. And two, they have met a Christian. No, I haven't made a mistake. You've heard it right. I've met some Christians a bit like Doc Cotton, unless she's changed, because it's 20 years since I've watched EastEnders, but you know what I mean? Self-righteous, hypocritical and boring. I used to think all Christians were like that before I actually took that step of faith 30-odd years ago. Christian influence is no small matter. Sometimes you can show people what it is to be a Christian by being there in their time of need. At times, by how you handle different and difficult situations. By your own personal commitment to Christ and his church. And sometimes, through baking a cake to give someone perhaps you may never meet. Are we attractive? Are we good news when we meet people? Or do they try to avoid us? Don't misunderstand me, we still need to talk about Christ crucified and salvation and to encourage people to take that step of faith. But it's how we go about it that is really important. Forgive me for those that have heard this story, but I do think it's important. A few days after Maggie had a car accident, was on that life support machine, a lady knocked on my door. A complete stranger. And she presented me with a homemade cake. Big cake. She told me that she was from my local church and they'd heard about the accident, and not only were they praying for Maggie and I, but she thought I might appreciate some home baking. A homemade cake. At the time, I was a cold-hearted atheist police officer. But this one act of kindness has such an impact on me I shall never forget it. This is 30 years ago. You know, how wonderful is this church, St. Chad's, that through Mary and some of her helpers, they facilitate a mobile and coffee and tea bar, and they're prepared to call on those that are lonely or in need. You know, it's an amazing ministry. You know, it's one of the things we're doing right in the church. A lot of other things. But I think it's great. So if you know anybody, it would appreciate a homemade cake and a cup of tea. Mary and her friends will visit and show the love of Christ through that. You know, to be productive, we need to share. Now, I know that technology moves on at such a pace nowadays, but I can remember when TV video recorders first come out. The first time that I saw one whilst I was doing my police training at Hendon in the late 70s. Now, the transformation from the quality of a cine film to the video was just amazing. Now, in those days, the Met Police were afforded the best equipment available. And Sony was considered to be the leaders in TV, video, and certainly surveillance equipment at the time. Not the cheapest, but high quality stuff. When video recorders were made available shortly afterwards to the home market, there was two options. We either had the Beta system or the VHS system. Now, without a shadow of doubt, the Sony Beta system was by far the best system. Not only was it the best reproduction, but it allowed you to set up the video to swap between channels when you went out. The early VHS ones didn't. Like most things, when I first come out, they were so expensive. In 1980, I paid £599 for my Sony Beta video. Paid from the money I'd got by a criminal compensation board when I got beaten up on duty, I hastened ahead, because it was well over a month's salary. Every cloud has a silver lining, they say. You know, I've got a few bruises on my backside and I managed to get a video out of it, but there you go. Mind you, I've got a big backside. Now, whilst at first Sony kept its Beta technology mostly to itself, JVC, the Japanese inventor of the VHS format, shared its secret with a raft of other firms. As a result, the market was overwhelmed by the sheer volume of the VHS machines being produced. This dramatically undercut Sony's market share. The first year, Sony lost 40% of the market, and by 1987, it controlled only 10%. Although vastly superior and used professionally by the BBC and other broadcasters for many years afterwards, the Beta machines were sent to the consumer graveyard. See, even in cutthroat businesses, sharing has its rewards. Let's just watch this video.
If you've been to downtown St. Pete in the past 3 decades, you've probably heard him.
You've been hit by, you've been struck by the smooth criminal.
Jammin'. Ooh. On the corner of Central and 2nd, Eddie Maltby Jr. is a sight to see, even if he can't.
I enjoy listening to him. It's always a pleasure seeing him on the block because he brings a lot of smiles to people.
Stand up.
What he lacks in sight, he makes up for in spirit. Passersby will drop a few bucks in his bucket.
Thank you.
But they have no idea. He has no intentions of keeping it.
Okay. You're listening to the Florida Blind Boy Show right here on 1590 AM WRXB.
Maltby has taken his music from the streets to the studio. After years of getting, he's decided it was time for him to do a little giving.
Every week I give away groceries and $50 in groceries, $50 in cash.
Trying to bless those who blessed him.
When he first did it, I said, my God, you know, the phone calls that was coming in, they was just amazing.
Concert tickets like these.
Over $2,000 worth out of his own pocket.
If it wasn't for the community, if it wasn't for other people being a blessing to him, he couldn't be a blessing to somebody else.
I have to take the phone from my ear because they be screaming so loud, like, wow, you know, I really want something.
He doesn't have much, but what he has, he's giving, and he's hoping the listeners will help him keep the giving going.
I'm going to keep giving until I can't give anymore. I mean, right now I'm giving where I can't give anymore. So why stop, you know?
He doesn't have much, but he keeps giving. He's going to carry on giving till he can't give any more. I wonder how many of us can say amen to that. I play the guitar not as well as him, and I probably don't give as well as him as well. That's something we've got to work out, I think. Who can remember the TV program, This Is Your Life, either by Eamon Andrews, those that are sort of old and decrepit like me, or later by Michael Aspel? Now, I wonder how we would be portrayed if we became the subject. Now, could you imagine if God was asked to speak on our behalf? You know, I wonder if our good deeds outweighed our bad deeds. I guess it's a good job that God doesn't keep a video of all our actions. You know, I think my video certainly would be X-rated. I said earlier that sharing in the early church was not mandatory to qualify for membership, but was Holy Spirit led. However, there can be no doubt that good deeds, including our sharing, pleases God. I want to read from the last book in the Bible, Revelations. Not an easy book to read or actually understand. Almost certainly written by the Apostle John, the only disciple who died a natural death. Instead of being martyred like all the others, he was exiled on the beautiful but remote Greek island of Patmos. Well worth a visit if you're out that way. And there he was able, in the peace and quiet, spend quality time with God. Now, if you remember nothing else, remember that. It's good to spend quality time listening to God. And I believe in this time, God revealed this vision, because mostly it's about a vision that was given to John, Revelation. There's so much in there. I mean, our reading was the shortest reading I can remember in this church, 4 verses this morning. But there's so much that we really need to take on board. Revelations chapter 20, verse 11 to 15 says this. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. The earth and the heavens fled from his presence, and there was no place for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne, and books were opened. Another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead were judged according to what they had done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up the dead that were in it, and death and Hades is hell, those that don't know, gave up the dead that were in them. And each person was judged according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. The lake of fire is the second death. Anyone whose name was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. God may not have a video on us, but our deeds, good and bad, are recorded in the book of life. Okay, your details may be entered on the church electoral roll, which is great, or even in our new directory, which we're getting hopefully next week. Great. But do we have an entry in the book of life? How do we register? Well, thankfully, it's easy because there's no forms that you have to fill in. All people that have become Christians, and that's not just churchgoers, but those that have got a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, are guaranteed an entry, not just in the book, but heaven itself. However, we will still have to give an account of the things that we did, as well as the things that we didn't do, including how we furthered the kingdom of God here on earth. How good are we at sharing not only our possessions and time, but also our faith? You know, we've got an ideal opportunity with Alpha coming up to bring your friends and your neighbours along, to get out there on the streets inviting people. I close with this question. How good are we at being the church that God called us to be? You know, we must guard against such things as apathy, complacency, laziness. No, and we will need to, at times, to come out of our comfort zones. Let's just close with a final video.
I used to suffer from a condition, a disease called apathy. It's where the needs of those around me are drowned out by the need to constantly serve myself. Where all my ambitions, my needs, even my desires, create a noise so loud and so constant, no other voice, even the ones crying out, ever stand a chance. God gave his life for mine. He gave me my purpose, to be his hands and feet, his heart to the hurting. To those alone in the darkness, I come with the light. I won't be defeated, no matter how large the need or how desperate the circumstance, because I do not come in my name, but in the name of my Father. Today my heart breaks for what breaks my Father's heart. God, teach me to face my fear, cry with the weeping, lay my life down so others may live. Come have victory over my weakness. If I do nothing, if I stand idly by, if I turn a deaf ear, I have become the problem, because the very hope they seek lives in me. Who am I to withhold it? Who am I to say no? It is my Father's love that destroyed my apathy. I have made a decision to abolish abuse and to never stand by. God, would you reignite your people to actually be the church?